Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to talk some more AFC East, Miami Dolphins football with Chris Perkins, who joins us now on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. He's a Miami Dolphins columnist for the Sun Sentinel. You can, of course, read his excellent work at thesunsentinel.com. I was just talking with Perk, and as he said, it's been a while since we've talked to him here on the Hawkman and Crowder Show. A reminder, Hawk is off today. He will be back tomorrow. Appel, Crowder, and Solana here taking you up until 6 p.m. Perk, the AFC East just got a lot more interesting, bro. The Man. Jets re-up a little bit. They improved their roster with Davante Adams. And how about the Buffalo Bills adding Amari Cooper just minutes ago? Perk, first of all, welcome. And second of all, what the hell, man? Everybody else is getting better, and we're just waiting for Tua to get back down here.
I like the what the hell part of that. Screw the welcome. Let's get down to business, baby. Let's do it. Look, you know what? Here's the funny thing, man, is that, you know, you got two receivers now in this division that, look, if I'm the Dolphins, that's two men that I'm putting Jalen Ramsey on and locking them down, right? Jalen versus Davante Adams, Jalen versus Amari Cooper. Let's see if the rest of y'all can beat me. That's my strategy if I'm Anthony Weaver, the Dolphins defensive coordinator.
And but Perk, what with the Dolphins, man, it upset me. Just think about it. Carolina, Bryce Young wasn't playing, and then what, Andy Dalton steps in and they start winning games. Even in Green Bay, when yep. Jordan Love, who balled out Sunday, but now he goes, Malik Willis has been there for 3 days. They still win a game running the ball. It's been a number of teams that can do that. Why in the hell did Tua go down and our team looks like, hey, we can win the AFC East too? We might not win a damn game without Tua. Like, what is the mismanagement? What happens if Tua is not with a helmet on? Because it looks like two different teams.
Man, Crowder, look. Okay, so this gets back to the mismanagement of the Dolphins, right? So if you have Skylar Thompson and Mike White in a quarterback competition, well, first of all, you have them all offseason. And you look at them, and I guess you evaluate them, and you decide they're good enough to keep around through training camp, and you have this big quarterback competition. Why in the hell are you getting rid of the loser? You know that Tua gets injured, and you know that the backup can very easily get injured. You were just in this situation 2 years ago, right? When Tua got injured and Teddy Bridgewater got injured, and now you're down to Skyler, why wouldn't you have kept Mike White around? I don't understand that. So that's the first thing about this. That was stupid on their part. Like, you can't just bring a quarterback into this system in a few weeks and expect him to be up to speed. So that's the first part. And you know, the team looking so different. Look, I'm doing a column for tomorrow on the run game of the Dolphins. And, yeah, last week they do the 41 for 193. But, you know, the Dolphins this year are 1-2 when they rush for over 100 yards. Last year they were 6-5 when they rushed for over 100 yards. Under Mike McDaniel, they're only 10-9 when they rush for over 100 yards. So, I'm not sure that that's going to be the key to beating Indy. I have to do, like, a deep dive into these numbers and figure out what's going on. Why aren't they winning more games? But, you know, it's very complicated with this offense, why it looks so different without Tua. You can't get the ball to Tyreek and to Jalen Waddle. You don't throw to the tight end, which I still don't understand. They started that last week. And your run game can't win you games. So there's a few layers to this offense when Tua's not in there.
Perk, I mean, you're speaking my language with the Mike White stuff. You really are.
I know that's your boy. I know that.
So thank you for that. And just to butter you up even more, I hope that golf game is treating you well too. I know
you'll be happy to know I whooped Adam Beasley's butt last week. So yeah.
You've done nothing but make me smile in the first few minutes of this interview.
Perk, you can swing them things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, look, Crowder, I don't break 100 on a regular basis. I play fast, I have fun, and I'll get in your pocket on those par threes.
We might have to get out there, game. Perk. We might have to get out there, Perk. I can, you know, I can swing them a little bit.
Let's do it.
We'll have Crowder be our fourth, Perk. You, me, Bees, Perk, and Crowder. How's that?
Let's do it. Let's set it up.
Hey, Perk. Perk, can you confirm whether or not Adam Beasley wears his thong sandals to play golf as well? Because man, he wears them pretty much everywhere else.
He does, don't he? No, he does not. He actually wears spikes. Beasley damn near broke my elbow about a year ago because I held up a branch and I thought he was chipping out and he took a full swing and he clocked me on the backswing. I'll never do that again. But yeah, well,
if it wasn't on a backswing, it would have been him chucking his club in your direction because he was mad at a bad shot.
Exactly.
My question, Perk, you know, you mentioned the running game. You were obviously in the room for Chris Greer's preseason press conference where he basically lectured you guys the entire beat on how worried you guys were about the offensive line compared to his level of worry. That aged very poorly for him, did it not?
Yeah, it did. It did. And you know what, Josh, but I'll say this. I've come around to Greer's way of thinking on the offensive line, and here's why. I think what you need really is a good center and two good tackles. The two guards, I've always said, if you list the players in order of importance from 1 to 22, left guard is going to be 21, right guard is going to be 22. So I understand the desire to improve the guard positions, but at the expense of what? DN, safety, linebacker, corner? Like, you can't have all pros everywhere. The Dolphins have taken this to an extreme. But I do agree with Greer on, look, you can't have five Pro Bowlers on that offensive line. Give me a good center and two good tackles. Let's roll.
Again, we're talking with Chris Perkins. No problem, Paul. I'll get back to you in a second. Chris Perkins, read his work at thesunsentinel.com. Perk, best case scenario here, because we're talking about how the run game needs to improve, the offensive line, obviously. But the reality is Tua Tagovailoa is going to come back. We know that. What is the best case scenario other than Tua staying healthy for the rest of the season, obviously? But if he does, what is the best realistic expectation for this team come January? Is it sneak into the playoffs and then what? Or is it just, hey, as long as Tua stays healthy, he could show you he could stay healthy, the Dolphins should feel okay about this season considering he went down already?
I expect this team to win 9 or 10 games. I don't care when Tua comes back. Now, I think he's coming back against Arizona October 27th. He can first practice a week from Wednesday, October 23rd. He can first play October 27th. I think that's when Tua comes back. But here's the thing, Solana. This offense still needs to define itself, right? Because we saw when Tua was in there, they still weren't getting the ball to Tyreek and Jalen Waddle on a consistent basis. Everybody's playing those two deep safeties. They're taking away that deep throw. And even when the Dolphins rush for over 100 yards in the past and sometimes make people drop that eighth man into the box, sometimes not, the offense still, you know, it's still not where it was, you know. Starting late last year, and then I know, you know, you can actually track it to the play where Tyreek got hurt against Tennessee, where he got that horse collar / hip drop tackle, a combination. That's when the offense started going bad, and it hasn't recovered. But even before then, you saw people, you know, I was talking to players about how they defended Tyreek and Jalen Waddle, and they tell me there's a lot of unscouted looks, which means things that teams haven't done before. And last year, the first game, for example, Belichick played three safeties, and then underneath that, Christian Gonzalez shadowed Tyreek. And other teams, you know, Buffalo and Kansas City were aggressive with Tyreek and Waddle at the line of scrimmage. Philly wasn't that aggressive because they let their pass rush do the work. There's a lot of things that these teams are doing to limit Tyreek and Waddle, and the Dolphins haven't really responded. So that's a long way of saying I still don't know what this offense is going to be when Tua gets back, because we weren't seeing all those deep passes that used to electrify the first year and a half. the last, you know, few games, the last 8 or 10 games, that gone away. So when Tua gets back, this offense still needs to define itself, and then you move forward. But having said all that, yeah, I still expect this team to win 9 or 10 games and be right there for the wild card and probably get into the playoffs.
Perk, we talked a lot of offense here, but you mentioned Anthony Weaver earlier in the interview. I'm curious how you view the defensive performance through the first 5 games. Feels like they've done their best to keep the Dolphins in game despite some of the circumstances that the offense has put the defense in. I think you look at the metrics for the defense, generally speaking, they've been pretty good. How would you evaluate the defense through the first 5 games?
They've done okay. They're number 5 right now in defense. I like what Zach Steeler's done, like what Calais Campbell's done, like what Jalen Ramsey has done. Now, obviously, this run defense is struggling a little bit. They've allowed over 100 yards to all 5 opponents. But, look, this is an offense team, right? Like, you're a high-scoring, big-play offense. That's the identity of the team. That's what drives the bus. So you just kind of need the defense to be good enough. And that's kind of what this defense has been, is good enough. It hasn't been outstanding, but you've had a few guys making plays. Jordan Brooks at linebacker, he's played every snap this season. He's been decent. He hasn't been great, but he's been decent. Jordan Fuller at the corner opposite Jalen Ramsey has been okay. Cater has struggled in the slot. I kind of worry about Cater. Well, Jordan Poyer has not had a good year. He's out with a shin injury right now. We know that the pass rush has not been good. So, Josh, there's been good things with this defense, and there's been not so good things. I think it's a playoff caliber defense. Is it good enough to win you a playoff game? Probably not. But again, that's the offense. And look, I'll tell you guys this too. When we talk about this offense and the problems that it has in games against good teams, you know, they were 1-6 last year against playoff teams. Mike McDaniel doesn't come through. Tua doesn't come through. Tua in his last 8 games against playoff teams, 8 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Raheem Mostert doesn't come through. Jalen Waddle doesn't come through. Tyreek doesn't come through. None of them come through. So this is a collective thing against good teams, not an individual thing. And I think that really when you talk about success in the playoffs, I think the Dolphins' depth has been good the last couple of years. You know all the injuries they've had. The depth has gotten them to the playoffs. But the star players need to perform when you're playing playoff-caliber teams and when you're in the playoffs. That, to me, is why the Dolphins haven't advanced. They can get to the playoffs. You need these star players to come through so you can advance in the playoffs.
Hey, Perk, if this offense is the bus driver, it needs to put its pedal to the metal because we're driving 12 points per game per mile per hour. We're not moving very fast because we're the worst offense in the NFL right now, points per game, Perk. But
yeah, hey, no.
No. What you got?
No, I was going to say, yeah, that, look, it's this offense, and you know what, Crowder, this gets into, with me, why McDaniel can't simplify this offense a little bit more, right? Because, I look, I said this earlier on my podcast with David Peronis, Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk, SunSentinel.com, noon every Tuesday. How about that plug?
Great plug.
That's right. But look, I don't understand how, you know, the Cal-Miami game, right? Cal is devising play calls that wide receivers are wide open, right? Carving up the Miami secondary. Why can't Mike McDaniel do that? Why do you have to have all these shifts and motions? Just throw the damn ball to a receiver. Like, make it simple. And that's what I would like to see Mike McDaniel do with this pedestrian offense.
You know, Perk, I'm glad you said that, and Crowder kind of alluded to it earlier, just talking about other schemes and other teams who have won with their backups. Spencer Rattler started on Sunday for New Orleans, and they put up 27 points. They got blown out because they gave up 51, but, I mean, they're putting up 27 with Spencer Rattler in his first start, and it has me thinking because, you know, these are all these Shanahan offenses, the Mike Shanahan offenses, but while McDaniel has, like, the principles of that, it's a completely different derivative of it. And I wonder why, you know, they don't try and run something that, you know, like O'Connell runs in Minnesota with Darnold, like what McVay and Shanahan do in San Francisco in L.A., what Slowick is running in Houston. That's really the Shanahan offense. The Dolphins run the Shanahan offense with all the gadgets and all the motions and all that stuff. And I think, to your point, Perk, I think in the second half against New England, we finally started to see a more simplified version of this. But I'm with you. Like, it's too complicated for the guys that they have trying to run the offense right now. The procedural stuff is insane. And a lot of that is because they're not used to, obviously, Huntley's cadence. And they're not.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's not used to running an offense that's this complicated. Like, they're trying to fit square pegs, round holes, whatever that cliche is, and it's really frustrating to watch.
Yeah, they just need to do simple, and Mike McDaniel doesn't do simple. That's the problem. But, you know, Josh, I always wonder, you got quarterback coach Daryl Bevel, who is experienced. You got offensive coordinator Frank Smith. Are they in Mike McDaniel's ear saying, hey, why don't we just simplify this? Are they yes men, or are they saying something and McDaniel ignores them? Because I just don't understand. And you're right. Like, out in San Francisco, they have a run game, right? They have Christian McCaffrey. They have a tight end that they throw to, George Kittle. Like, McDaniel wants to put his spin on this offense, which I understand, but it's so finesse. It's so speedy. And it has no muscle. It has no oomph to it. And that's what irritates me, is that you have all this talent and you refuse to change up even a little bit. Like, I know, look, Chris Brooks, the running back and that they had in training camp, he didn't do the job. Okay, fine. But get a power back. Fill that role. Maybe not with Chris Brooks, but fill that role. You have a tight end in Jonnu Smith. You finally started throwing to him. Continue to throw to this man. This man can help out your quarterback. And I don't understand why McDaniel, he's very stubborn. He's very hard-headed. I like Mike McDaniel. I respect Mike McDaniel, but he's really hard-headed. He won't get a power runner. He won't throw to the tight end. It's all speed, 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 big play, big play, big play. And it's not getting you anywhere. You haven't won a playoff game. To me, they've underachieved both years, so I would like to see McDaniel, if he would just change up this offense a little bit, add some little tweaks to it, do some stuff that other Shanahan people are doing, like you say, Josh, I think you would have more success with the talent that you have.
Perk, on the way out, well, to put a bow on what you said, I know you can't say it, but, yeah, they need to start whooping somebody's ass in the trenches. That's what you're trying to say. Just come downhill, and I've said that for years. We're not a downhill team. We can't just go get 3 yards when we need it. But, Perk, quickly on the way out, because we've had this debate. I like to call them arguments, but they call them debates for a couple days now. I do not want to see Joe Flacco. I want Anthony Richardson in the game. How do you feel about that? Because I think Joe Flacco can beat us. I don't know if AR-15 can beat us.
100%. I agree with you, Crowder. I agree with you. Look. And the Dolphins, look, you already lost to Mason Rudolph, a backup quarterback this year. You put Jimmy G out of the game 2 years ago, meet Brock Purdy, who's going to whoop your ass. So, yeah, you better stay with AR, because I don't think you want any part of Joe Flacco. He will get the job done.
I think we're all unanimously agreeing with Joe Flacco to sit his ass on the bench, man. Sit his ass.
No, Anthony.
Like where Skylar Thompson's going to be sitting for the next couple months. Sit his ass on the bench. Chris Perkins, it's been way too long, man. I really do appreciate you joining us again. Perk, noon, every Tuesday. It's Perk, Dave Hyde, David Fiorenez, Dolphins Deep Dive. I had that plug ready to go too, Perk. Don't think I forgot.
Yes.
Plus, read all of Chris Perkins' work, Dolphins columnist at thesunsentinel.com. Perk, really do appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
All right, fellas, let's do it again.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.